tools with a mission. I couldn't find a spade or a fork at the back, but that's what we're doing today. We're going to dig deeper. If you weren't here last week, before I start, you should each have a leaflet. Last week I meant to say, could you hold on to it for next week? If you've already got one at home, perhaps you could leave this at the end of the service here, and then for those that come next week that forget theirs, there'll be a few spare ones. So that's just a reminder. And also a couple of things on the PowerPoint will look, may not be very easy to read, but I promise you I'm going to read the things that are on the PowerPoint. It's just that the PowerPoint slides that I used from Spring Harvest, I can't actually edit them because they're copyright, if you like. So apologies for that. If you weren't here last week, this is the second of a series of three sermons based on this year's Spring Harvest theme of Immeasurably More. And we're focusing on Paul's prayer for the early church in Ephesus, which is found in the middle of his letter to the Ephesians. It's on the front of your sheets. And we looked last week at where its place is. The first part of Ephesians is mostly theology, and the last part is mostly praxis, which is the practical outworking and of the gospel. The prayer comes sort of sandwiched in the middle. We looked at the context last week, and then we zoomed into the closer verses 14 to 17a, and thought about how we might draw ever closer to God, reminding ourselves that Christ wants to take up permanent residence with us by dwelling in our hearts through his Spirit in our inner being. This is not a verse that we looked at last week, but in Ephesians 1 verse 13, Paul reminds the Ephesians that once they had believed, they were marked in Christ with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. That is the same Spirit which is promised to us and which becomes part and parcel of our inner being when we give our lives to Christ. Signed, sealed, and delivered. When we sign up for God, we are sealed with the mark of his Spirit, and we are delivered from our slavery to sin through Christ's death on the cross. I'm going to add a question to that next week. So the three things: drawing closer, digging deeper, and going wider. And this week we will look at how we might go deeper into our relationship with God. And the verses which we're focusing on today were read just now by Giselle, chapter 3, verse 17b to 19. And Paul prays as follows: that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. We're going to look at four adjectives from these verses, the third one being derived from the word power in verse 18. So we're going to look at those four adjectives: rooted, established, empowered, and filled. Last week, we're going to start with rooted, obviously, the first one on the list. Last week, I recommended that you might like to read a book sometime by John Ortberg called God is Closer Than You Think. And in the first chapter, John Ortberg refers to someone else you may have heard of called Brother Lawrence, whose collection of spiritual insights into the heart of God are to be found in another book called The Practice of the Presence of God. I was over in Bournemouth in Keith Jones this week, and I've got one spare copy of this if anybody wants it. It costs $3.99. It's only a small book, so if anybody wants a copy, I've got one spare. Born in 1614, Brother Lawrence entered a Carmelite monastery in Paris at a young age, and he spent most of his adult life within the walls of the priory, working in the kitchen. John Ortberg writes this about Brother Lawrence: a man named Nicholas Herman, that's Brother Lawrence's real name, worked in the food service industry, i.e. in the monastery kitchen. He had had stints in the military and in transportation, but now he was a short order cook and bottle washer. He had become deeply dissatisfied with his life, and he worried endlessly about himself. But one day Nick had been looking at a tree, and the same truth struck him that had struck the psalmist so long ago. The secret of the life of a tree is that it remains rooted in something other and deeper than itself. He decided to make his life an experiment in what he called a habitual, silent, secret conversation of the soul of God. In the monastery, he stayed in a place of humility in the kitchen, but the people around him found that rivers of living water flowed out of him that made them want to know God the way he did. It was said of him, the good brother found God everywhere. The secret of the life of a tree is that it remains rooted in something other and deeper than itself. Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of living water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prospers. And in Psalm 92, verse 12 to 15, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him." It was interesting that David Nunn just now chose to talk about his childhood and memories of Bible stories. As a child, I went to a prep school, and in order to gain entry to public school, we had to sit what was known, and still is known, I think, as the Common Entrance Exam. This went on for about 3 days, and we were examined in all the usual subjects, including, in those days, what was called Scripture. In essence, if you could show a good knowledge of the Bible stories examined on the day, then it wasn't too difficult to get a good grade. The parable of the sower was one of the stories included in the Scripture syllabus, and I got to know this parable extremely well. In fact, I knew it inside out, back to front, upside down, you name it, I knew it. Sally will tell you that, although I know I shouldn't, to this day, I sometimes groan when the parable of the sower comes up in my Bible reading notes, or indeed as the sermon or the reading in church. Oh no, not the parable of the sower again. Well, guess what? A few weeks ago in my Bible reading notes, up comes the parable of the sower, so I took a deep breath and read it again from start to finish. And perhaps it shouldn't be surprising that no matter how many times we might have read a familiar passage of Scripture, often something new will jump out at us and speak deep into our hearts. In Mark's account of the parable, and in chapter 4, verse 5 to 6, which we read just now, we read about some of the seed being scattered around by the sower. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. And again in Mark's account, when Jesus is explaining the meaning of the parable, he says, "Others," that is other people, "like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Going back to Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3, verse 17, Paul says that we need to be rooted, amongst other things, in love. I pray that you being rooted, that's you individually, and you plural, the church, us, connected to each other. We need to have relational depth. Nomadic or consumer, I want Christianity can be drifting, not rooted. We were given a statistic at Spring Harvest, a survey had been done amongst some university students as to why they might choose a particular place to go and worship. Well, two things came first equal, those two things that were first equal were the worship and the preaching or the teaching. So they might choose to go somewhere because of the worship or because of the teaching, the preaching. But next on the list came food, which is perhaps not surprising amongst university students. But sometimes we can put our wants first and make it a sort of consumer Christianity rather than having real relational depth. Once we are rooted, Paul says in Ephesians 4 and 14 to 16, and you may not be able to read this one, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head. That is Christ. From him, the whole body joined together and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. If we want to grow from infancy to maturity, then we must not be satisfied with simplistic answers. We must sink our roots down further and be prepared to wrestle with deep truths. The next need in verse 17 is to be established. We need to be built together with firm foundations. In Ephesians 2, verse 19 and 20, Paul says this: consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Strength of church as community, Jews and Gentiles together as one people. But we are so often divided and we focus on our differences. One or two people might know the answer to this, so keep quiet, but does anybody actually know how many Christian denominations there are in the world? Just a couple of guesses, shout them out.
5,000.
Wrong. Anyone else want to guess? It's upwards from that. There we are. 45,000. Apparently, we were given this information at Spring Harvest. It says in 1900, there were 1,600 denominations. So there's been a 2,712% increase in the number of denominations in just over a century. Ephesians 4 and verse 3 to 6 says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. One body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. We're going to sing the hymn at the end with the words, which include the words, one church, one faith, one Lord, the church in Purbeck, churches together, the church, one faith, one Lord. As well as the need to be established together, sorry, seem to have lost that, Peter. I'll carry on anyway. As well as the need to be established together, verse 18 says that we need to be empowered together, or to have power together. We need to empower each other. There we go. There we are. We need to empower each other by engaging with each other, not just here in our own church, but together with the whole body of Christ. We can learn from each other. And we needn't be afraid to embrace some of the roots and traditions of those many other denominations, deepening our roots and growing together with the common goal of bringing glory to God. Continuing in verse 18, Paul says that if we are empowered together with all the saints, we might then grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Wide enough to embrace you, this is on the handouts, wide enough to embrace you, whoever you are. Long enough to endure with you whatever you're going through. High enough to encourage you whenever you feel low. Deep enough to encompass you however far you have fallen. The final part of today's passage, verse 19, says that we need to be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And in his letter to the Colossians, in chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, Paul writes about the supremacy of Christ. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. What about you and me? Are we filled with the Spirit? Are we filled to the measure of all the fullness of God? Again, in your handouts, the question, are you a raisin or a grape? Dehydrated or fully hydrated? Or maybe somewhere in between. As individual Christians and together as the church, the body of Christ, we need to be constantly rehydrated. Are you merely a bit religious? Or are you in a real and meaningful relationship with your Father in heaven? How can we go deeper into God and bear more fruit in our lives? We read from Jeremiah 17, verses 5 to 8. This is what the Lord said, "Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Who do you put your trust in, man or God? Man will almost surely let you down. God won't." Going deeper is a matter of trust, of expressing confidence that only God will deliver and that only God can be depended on. To go deeper, we must constantly revisit and refocus on Calvary, on the cross, on what Jesus did for us. As we read earlier this year in Revelation chapter 2, We read about the Ephesians, and in verse 4 in particular, which is highlighted there, we are told that the Ephesians actually have forsaken their first love. And there's quite a dire warning there. Repent and do the things that you did at first. Maybe this is true for some of us. Have we been Christians for so long that we've gone off the boil and forsaken our first love? Refocus on Calvary, on the cross, and on what Jesus did for you by the grace of Almighty God. To go deeper, we must embark on a daily journey of intimacy with our Heavenly Father, of trust and obedience to His perfect will. As the familiar hymn says, trust and obey, for there's no other way. Rick Warren, who wrote The Purpose-Driven Life, which some of you might have come across, suggests that we need to do three things. We need to divert daily, withdraw weekly, and abandon annually. To deepen our faith, we need to spend personal time with God on a daily basis. We touched on this theme last week. The need to spend time with God on a daily basis, kneeling before Him in prayer, and allowing His grace to wash over us, reading His word, using Bible commentaries to guide us and help us, reading Christian literature. This might be a good time just to look at the other two book recommendations which are on the back of the leaflet. Immeasurably Deeper is a 40-day devotional, and it fits in well with the idea of diverting daily as well as fitting in with the theme of the sermon series. Or if you would like to dig a bit deeper into the theme of Immeasurably More, this is the Spring Harvest book. This was written for Spring Harvest. It's what they call the theme guide. It's well presented, easy to read, and full of truth. If you want to look at any of these four books, I've got them if you want to have a look afterwards. Withdrawing weekly for most of us will be coming together in church to worship. Verse 18 again, together with all the saints. Fellowship, worshipping together, sharing our Christian journeys with each other. As it says again on the leaflet, you are a work in progress. It takes time to become deeply rooted. And it helps our roots to go deeper if we can learn from each other. As well as church, of course, there is always the opportunity, if you're not already a member, to join a house group where you can engage with one another in a quieter, more intimate atmosphere. Abandoning annually points towards things such as church weekends, spring harvest, new wine, or a retreat, perhaps, a few days away with a significant space of time to dig deep into all that God has for you. If this sermon series is making you think, then have a look on the website at Spring Harvest 2016. The theme is Game Changers, and if we go along, the challenge will be that through the example of Moses, we should become game changers, taking risks for Jesus and bringing hope to a nation in great need of it. More information available from me if you want. I've got a paper about it, or you can go on the website, or just have a word with me or Sally or others that have been. Tom's been to Spring Harvest. Lots of people have been. I'm going to add a question to that as well next week. Divert daily, withdraw weekly, abandon annually. I will add something to that next week. But I'm going to finish with this. If we would rather be grapes than raisins, if we are to allow ourselves to be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God, if we are to have all His fullness dwell in us, if we are to engage with the God of immeasurably more, then we must repeatedly come before Him and ask Him to give us the gift of His Holy Spirit. God promises that he will give this gift to anyone who wishes to receive it. God doesn't hold it back from us, but he waits for our invitation. The immeasurably more that God intends for us comes when we have a deeper hunger in our bellies for him. A deeper hunger for him and his Spirit leads us to a place of full surrender of all our ambitions, affections, desires, and possessions. As believers, we have the promise, like the Ephesians, that we are sealed with the mark of the Spirit. But as with a new bank card, we have to activate it if it's going to be of any use. So let's dig deep and keep the Spirit within us, active and alive and on fire. I will finish with a short prayer, which will then be on the screen for a moment just to reflect on while Lindy takes us into the last part of the service. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters. Wherever you would call me, take me deeper than I could ever wander. And my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Saviour. Amen.